Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds of every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. And finally, we're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Are you the best bettor in football in the United States? Odds Crowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Odds Crowd gives away hundreds of dollars in weekly contests, including the $100 SGPN exclusive free roll contest. But of course, you can only find that at Odds Crowd. And finally, before I let you get started with the episode, I want to remind you guys to download the SGPN app because it is your home for all of our free picks, news, podcasts, and oh so much more. You can download that in either the Google Play Store or the Apple Store.
Hi, ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're up to episode 77, so we'll dedicate this one to 1977, an awesome year for a brother to be born. And I was going to, I was going to come out hot today and go in on dirtbag alcoholic domestic abusers, but I'm just going to let that slide because Dan mentioned last podcast that person's irrelevant to MMA anyhow. So, hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Fox, your host. Thank you for coming to our podcast. This is a podcast that's so jam-packed full of content. Now we don't have to have long, rambling introductions like we used to. Maybe once the Contender Series ends, we'll have to start that up again. But no, not now. Things are jam-packed. We have nothing but winning picks for you. So let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. Let's introduce my associate co-host. I call him a co-host, but I think he officially is an associate host, I think is what he's been elevated to earlier on. Some people call him the Contender Series soothsayer. Some call him the Tuesday Night Truther. I call him Daniel Gumby Reeland. Hi, Daniel.
The Tuesday Night Truther sounds sort of nefarious. So I think I like, what was the first one?
Contender Series soothsayer. I figured you'd like that better.
I like that one better. That one's got a, it's sort of got that like tacky ring of like early 2000s MMA nicknames where it was far too long and also like didn't rhyme or weren't alliterative, like the Filipino wrecking machine or the Polish experiment, you know, just those like awful.
Christoph
Soszynski.
Yes, of course.
He was on the Ultimate Fighter. Did you know he was on the Ultimate Fighter?
There we go. First Ultimate Fighter. Mentioned. So are you going to get that tattooed across your upper back Tuesday? No, just that's usually what you do with nicknames or on your stomach.
I had a guy who I actually used to train with. He was like an amateur MMA champ out of my gym, and he had his last name tattooed on his back, which I know is also like a pretty standard MMA thing at this point in time, right? Like you just get your name, except for his name was Jake Smith. And that was so it just like, first of all, it didn't like fill up his whole back because it's like,
no,
you know, it's not a long last name. And also like, it's like literally the most generic name you could have, but it said Smith. He actually turned pro and was 1-0 at CES MMA, which is now available on Fight Pass.
See, there you go, Dan's full of information, full of information. He's also full of, like you said, we don't just come on Tuesday night in the Contender Series Soothsayer because just for the heck of it, this guy knows how to pick your Contender Series fights, don't you? It's, you know, there's always, there's always one fight throws a spanner in the works, as I think that's a British expression. But yeah, there's always one fight that screws things up on you. But yeah, like what, 3 weeks in a row, you've gotten one wrong, I think, right? Each week?
Yeah, 3 weeks in a row, I got one wrong. A little bit easier to do it this week because there were only four fights with obviously the guy who I was very high on, Manuel Gotcha. You know, I even had some tweets at me this week telling me that his number had risen up and where he was at, and he was getting to be an even bigger underdog. I really do think we would have cashed if he had not had his whatever health problems are ailing him, because he missed weight pretty badly and then had to pull out from the fight anyway. So I'm assuming he's got some stuff going on. It could have been some of the travel or whatever, but sort of disappointing that we didn't get a chance to go 4-1 with the big underdog. But we did have one underdog in there, too.
You did. Yeah, everybody on the SGPN Slack channel, which I strongly suggest everyone go in. It's lots of fun, lots of good people in there. They all were going in hard on Gotcha. He was part of a bunch of parlays and stuff. And, yeah, it was big bummer when it got pulled. It was really, like, last minute, too. Like, they were on the air, and pretty much it got pulled aside, like, or just before that.
Yeah, I actually had noticed earlier in the day ESPN's website had didn't have that fight listed. They only had four fights listed. Sometime around, like, 2 o'clock, I noticed that. And I didn't think anything of it at first, but then I remembered he missed weight, and I was like, oh, maybe that is something. And then, yeah, sure enough, like, right before they went to air, it officially was pulled or was leaked to, you know, whoever makes those kinds of official announcements, not me. Huge bummer. But at the same time, when you can get plus money and come out $100 over on $100 bets or so, you can't complain too much.
Yep, not at all. And that's Gotcha. That's like, can't look good for his future trying to get into the UFC. At first, you come in hugely overweight, and then you back out last minute. That's not going to get you second chance at it more often than not.
Yeah, it's probably not going to get him a second chance on the Contender Series, sadly. But I did see that his opponent was angling to get any last-second fight. He actually looked like he was having a conversation with Dana White at the Contender Series event. So, you know, good on Chris Duncan, who I also, you know, while I was picking Gotcha, and I thought Gotcha is probably a better prospect, Chris Duncan's no slouch. He is 7-0 and had 3 or 4 wins in Bellator or something like that with a couple of nice finishes. So, you know, hey, maybe we see him again. But, I sort of doubt we see Gotcha, which is sort of a bummer. He's really fun to watch fight.
He's got a fun name, at least. I've never seen him fight. I enjoy his last name. all right, well, we should probably break down those fights quickly and then get into this week's festivities. But first, we better do some ad reads so we can keep the lights on here in the MMA Gambling Podcast studios. Right, Dan?
Yeah, of course.
Got to keep the lights on and keep the train running and all that stuff. All right. Let's talk about WynnBET first. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, golf, MMA, NHL, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download Bet Win. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. And we are also brought to you by PropSwap. What's PropSwap? PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go and check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money, it just needs to improve. When making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, the Contender Series. We end up with four fights. Dan went 3-1 with an underdog, made money, and everybody sounded like on the Slack message board made money. So it was good night for all. We started off with big boys, heavyweights, Rizvan Akuniev, TKO, Edvin Santos. Anything to say about this fight, Dan?
I mean, I'm glad it ended the way it did, because at first it looked a little scary because Edvin Santos was throwing hands and looked, you know, not like he was winning the fight, but looked like he had a puncher's chance. And I this was the one you may remember I notoriously said to bet the house on this one.
Yeah, dump all your money, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Dump all of your money on this. And then you added to empty your savings account. So I'm glad for all of you who did empty your savings account into Rizvan Akuniev. I'm glad it worked out the way it did, because his wrestling, which is what we predicted, was actually what held up. So good on him.
He got a finish, but no contract. What's the deal with that?
I think, is a victim of Dana White slowly inching back towards what he would do in the earlier seasons, because this was not an impressive performance. Like, no. he's a heavyweight who badly got outboxed and mostly won by having slightly better cardio than a guy who had no cardio and, like, suffocating wrestling, which is, you know, I mean, he kind of reminds me of all of those heavyweights that Dana White already cut. You remember Josh the Cuddly Bear Copeland?
My chunky guys, of course.
Yeah, or Jared Rochalt. He's got that style. He's got the style of those two guys, like a suffocating top game guy who, no matter how many times he wins, you don't want to give him a title shot because he's maybe not the most fun to watch. And at heavyweight, we all want people who throw one-punch knockouts, and that's just not him. So this felt a little bit more like Dana White going back to being what the earlier Contender Series was, which felt better.
But don't we want another hairy, chunky guy in the UFC, though? Come on.
I mean, we do, but there are we did find out recently that we are about to get another Huggy Bear, Chris Barnett fight coming up, and he's fighting Fat John Volante. So, like,
I didn't hear about that one yet.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. So that got booked. So, like, to the chunky guy gods,
wow.
I think we can sacrifice Rizvan Akuniev for the greater good.
All right. Next fight was a fun one. Lightweights, Daniel Zellhuber beat Lucas Almeida 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. And I think he thinks he broke his ankle, or he has some sort of injury coming out of that. He stays perfect 12-0, and he got himself a contract.
Yeah, and I think he deserved one too, because while people pointed out that he kind of got tagged up a little bit in that first round, first of all, he made great adjustments, which is a sign of an actual good fighter, not just somebody who, like we'll talk about in the main event, just happened to pound somebody really quickly.
Guess who Dan picked in the main event?
Yeah, not
you're salty, aren't you?
But yeah, I'm a little salty on that one. But regardless, like, he made adjustments. He looked good doing it. And, I mean, like, the fact that that dude's 22 is really exciting.
Yep, that was a good fight, too. Both guys look good in that fight. Middleweights, Bohelo. No, what's his name?
It's Ohio.
Ohio.
My you son say the LH saying, like it's a Y. Yeah.
My son kept saying, is his name Ohio? I'm like, no, Ohio. And then we also said, hey, isn't that – the guy he's fighting is totally Canadian, isn't he? He's like, yep, sure is. Because Aaron Jeffrey looks amazingly Canadian with the mullet and the crappy facial hair.
Amazingly Canadian. That is that might be the name of this episode. That might have to be the short name.
Amazingly
Canadian.
Like, doesn't his face just scream A?
Yeah, it does. I will allow that. Also, we have no Canadians on the UFC card.
So anyhow, Bohio, unanimous decision victory, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. He basically pieced him up.
Yeah, it was pretty much exactly what I said, too. Like, I really like Aaron Jeffrey as a prospect, but, like, a guy who hops in and hops out with – and as a matter of fact, I called it a Machida-like style, and then
– You did.
And then Paul Felder called it the same exact thing on air. So
I told you people listen to us, Dan. I told you.
Yeah, I don't know if he stole that from me or not. I'm somewhat assuming he did not. But it was a very Machida-esque style, and that just winds up being the worst thing when you're somebody like Aaron Jeffrey. So I still have hope that Aaron Jeffrey will sort of, like, figure it out. He wouldn't be the first guy to get three chances on the Contender Series. But, yeah, that's a huge bummer for him. And Bojaio did not wind up with a contract either, which is worth mentioning. I think I probably agree with that one. He does seem like he has a lot of talent and he's kind of fun to watch, but he got really tired and then started just like kind of leaning against Aaron Jeffrey in the later parts of the fight.
Yeah, it is true. So I think moral of the story is if you weren't on the first few weeks of the Contender Series, it's going to be tough now. If you didn't get in early, it's going to be dangerous.
I don't think it's going to be tough. I just think it's going to be back to a little bit closer to what it was before. Before it was easy. Now it's just like standard.
Yeah. And the main event, you got wrong. The guy whose name spelled a billion different ways. Pateria. Is that how you say his name? I wasn't
Pateria.
Really sure.
Pateria. Igor Pateria. Pateria.
Well, why do you say like he's Italian? He's totally not Italian. He TKO'd Dan's pick, Lucas Sladowski. He caught him shortly before he finished the fight also. So, but you're inferring that it was a fluke, right?
I don't know that it's necessarily a fluke, but like I don't think he looked good enough that I would want to sign him. It felt very much the same way as AJ Dobson winning in the main event. Was that last week? I think it was last week. And I picked AJ Dobson, and I was psyched he won. It capitalized a parlay for me, but he didn't look good enough to get a contract. He just threw wild hands nonstop for 2 minutes, and one of the punches landed because the guy he was fighting didn't have really good striking defense. And that's what Pateria did here, too, is that he kind of just was winging stuff. And, yeah, he eventually got the TKO, wound up knocking him down and hitting some ground and pound. But, yeah, I'm not, like, super impressed with him or don't think he's, like, you know, a future guy to watch at 205.
Well, there you go. Take that, Dana White. actually, I would probably take your opinion over Dana White's, actually. I'm sure you know more about all these guys than Dana White or any of the guys in the UFC do, so. Anyhow, good night for the picks, and yeah, you're running hot with the Contender Series picks. Lucky I'm not picking against you in that too, because might be in trouble. Because I'm still beating you in the picks that count, the actually UFC fight card, aka.
Are you ahead of me? I thought I was $200 ahead.
Whatever. Who cares about money, Dan? It's not about money. This gambling show is not about money. It's about being right and wrong. Come on. All right. Let's break down this week's here show. But first, I'm going to tell you about Keeps. It's not about keeping your money. It's about keeping your hair. Keeps offers the simplest, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions. Discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/SGP. Get your first month free, keeps.com/SGP. So much spelling. Oh, all right. Let's move on to a card Dan has told me off air he's very excited about, right?
I'm actually – this is one of the few I've found some like – man, it's not often where I look at a fight and I'm like, that – I just can't even make myself care about that fight.
The rankings I do on MMA-Manifesto, the MMA site I run, this one actually ranks out like above average, surprisingly.
I can see that. There's a couple of guys or gals on here who are coming off of pretty impressive win streaks. Although, like I said, part of the issue for me is not necessarily that they're not good fighters, but like, you know, a fight should like answer some sort of question. A lot of these fights are just like, the question is, how long will it take that fighter to finish the other one? It's not who's going to win or can this guy stuff some takedowns. It's just like, when will that guy go to sleep? Cool. I think some of these are pretty one-sided, and some of these are not terribly fun to talk about. With that being said, please buckle up for the next 40 minutes of us talking about
exactly.
it.
So you're saying the UFC is giving me a crappy birthday present, what you're saying?
Yeah, if this was my birthday card, I'd be pretty bummed.
I'm bummed, Dan. I'm really bummed now. The card we're talking about is UFC Fight Night Stances versus Walker, a.k.a. UFC Fight Night 193, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 38, which I guess we'll probably use, a.k.a. UFC and ESPN Plus. How many cards do you think they've had in ESPN Plus, Dan?
100 and... I don't know. I have no
51.
Idea.
Only 51. Oh, only 51? You're way off, dude.
Hmm.
It's on ESPN Plus. Imagine that. 4 p.m. prelims, 4 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. main card, both on ESPN Plus. How did you find, before we get right down to it, how did you find picking winners on this card? Did you find it difficult?
Pretty easy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I had a couple I had question marks beside, but then I went through it again, and I basically strength of schedule won out in a lot of the cases if I was wavering between one or two fights. So, but you found it pretty easy, straightforward.
Yeah, my first comb through, like almost every single fight I had a pick for, with the exception of I'll be real honest, the main event was one of the ones, and
yep.
the co-main event were two of the ones that I had to marinate on a little bit. Yeah. Apart
Me
from
too.
That, I think I went all the way up and down the card. Oh, there's one other one that tripped me up. So like three or four fights that I had to give a second thought to, which is really not a lot on a card of this size.
Yeah, but I guess it's good if we want competitive fights, we want it to be the last two of the night. So I guess it's good that we both found the main and co-main hard to predict. All right, let's jump into her. We will start with the bantamweights. Alejandro Perez, who's been around way longer than I remembered, against Johnny Eduardo, who also has been around way longer than I remembered. Perez has all the nicknames. Eduardo does not have any. Do you know Perez's nicknames at all, Dan, by chance?
Isn't it Turbo? Is he Turbo Perez?
Yeah, one of them's Turbo, which is kind of boring. The other one is El Patata Frito. Which is the fried potato.
Yeah,
fried potato or French fry?
It's French fry. It's French fry. Yeah.
That's a fantastic nickname. So, all right, let's go to Eduardo. Do you remember Johnny Eduardo, Dan? Do you remember this
guy? Yes, I do remember Johnny Eduardo. People talked about him being like, I wouldn't say a prospect because I think he was even old when he got to the UFC. But like when he beat Eddie Wineland, whenever that was, I think he fought on UFC on Fuel TV. I could be wrong. But
no,
I think he fought Eddie Wineland on UFC on Fuel TV, which is just wild.
Here's a fun game. Since there's no Canadian stuff, we'll do this. He made his debut in November 1996. Dan, what were you doing in November 1996?
His pro debut in November of 96?
Yes.
I was playing T-ball, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Or getting ready. And not November, so probably for soccer season then. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's that weird kid soccer where everybody chases the same ball and nobody plays any positions.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, he made his UFC debut in 2011. He lost to Sunset, and then his next fight was on Fuel TV against Jeff Curran. So there you go.
Oh, Jesus.
He's been in the UFC since 2011. He has fought 7 times, I think. Yeah. Wow. His last fight was June of 2018. So anyhow, let's give you all the stats here. Johnny Eduardo, 28-12, 8 knockouts, 13 submissions. He's been subbed 9 times in his career. He's 3-4 in the UFC. He's lost his last 2, and he's only won 1 of his last 4. He's been finished in his last 2 fights. His last fight was, like I said, June of 2018. He was in Bellator before all of this, where he was 1-0. He used to fight at lightweight. This is at bantamweight. He did make his debut 25 years ago, almost to the month, November 1996. He's got an inch of height, 4 inches of reach on Perez. He's at plus 180. The fried potato, French fry, potato chip guy is 21-8-1 with 9 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice and subbed 3 times. He's 7-3-1 in the UFC. He also has lost 2 straight fights, got KO'd in his last one. His last fight was July of 2019. He was in the Ultimate Fighter where he went 2-0 in the house and then won the championship. He's 11 years younger than Johnny Eduardo. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor, minus 230. Not a fan of the number, but I will take him. But this could be one of our loser leaves home matches for these guys.
I mean, it should. I thought both of them had already left home.
Exactly.
To be honest with you, like, I forgot they were there. One's been away for 2 years. One's been away for 3 years. I'll say this, though. I actually don't hate that number on Alejandro Perez. I saw it, like, a little bit earlier in the week at, like, negative 210. And I actually think that that's probably a good number for him because he shouldn't have a problem with Johnny Eduardo. Johnny Eduardo, you know, you don't see very many 41-year-old bantamweights in the first place. And in the second place, like, he started looking quite a bit slower in his last fight, which I'm actually going to talk about a couple of people who've slowed down in their advanced age. But he looked a little bit slower. And the other bonus I really like here about Alejandro Perez, in addition to being faster than Johnny Eduardo, has some takedowns. I feel like so many people forget that, like, these two are guys who throw hands, but Alejandro Perez is a guy who took down Cody Stamann and slammed him on his head, and that was really only, like, 2.5 years ago. So while, like, yeah, he could be a different Alejandro Perez, and Cody Stamann seemingly has gotten better, Cody Stamann has always been a wrestler, so, like, that's in Alejandro Perez, and he did it with a single leg, too, which was a really weird style of a takedown. But, like, he's got that power, and he's got that takedown, and I think if the working him over on the feet is not working, which I think it will for Alejandro Perez, I think he's got that too. So, like, I think he's got the advantage on the feet, has the backup plan. I actually think he's a pretty safe pick here against Johnny Eduardo.
All right. We're both going with the chalk, Alejandro Perez. Let's move on to a couple other bantamweights that you may have forgotten were still in the UFC. On the women's side, Shanna Young, Stephanie Egger, nicknames, the Shanimal, which is a bad nickname.
You don't like that one?
No, that's corny. You like it? You like the Shanimal?
I do. It has shades of the nickname. Dan Ige used to actually be the Danimal,
which I really
love that.
The Shanimal's
right up there, too.
You should get the Danimal tattooed across your back instead of the nickname I gave you. The Danimal would be amazing.
Just the Danimal. I don't hate the Danimal. You can.
All right. Let's tell you about the Shanimal first. She's 7-3 with one knockout, three submissions. I forgot she actually was in the UFC. I was thinking she was in Invicta still. But yeah, she's actually fought in the UFC where she lost her debut February of 2020. She has swapped losses and wins over her last three. She's got a loss, win, loss. She was 1-1 in Invicta, 0-1 in the Contender Series. She's an inch taller, 3 years younger than Egger, five times more active striker, but that's based on two fights she's had, huh? And Egger's had one fight. So small sample size is what I'm trying to say. She's at even money, plus 100. Egger, 5-2, two knockouts, two submissions. I think her middle name should be Hammond, don't you think?
Hammond Egger.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? Stephanie Hammond Egger. That's her new name. Thank you for not selling my joke one bit. First you had to think about it, and you went, oh, huh, funny. Good one, Dad.
Yeah. I see what he did there.
All right. Anyhow, Hammond Egger's never been finished in a fight. She's 0-1 in the UFC. She last fought October of 2020. She's won three of her last four. She's 1-0 in Ryzen in Japan. 0-1 in Invicta, 3 inches of reach. Grappling stats in her favor, but like I said, small sample size, minus 125. This is one of the ones I'm having a hard time breaking down. What do you think? You probably know more about both these women than I do.
Yeah, well, so this one was not an easy one for me, too. This was probably the third or fourth one that I had to circle and circle back to. Part of my issue with this one is that Shanna Young is a flyweight, first of all. She made her debut at bantamweight. They're having her fight at bantamweight again. I'm not sure what the thought process is behind that, but she comes from Invicta in the flyweight division. So she has given up a little bit of size here to Egger. My initial thought on this fight and what I'm eventually going to do for a pick here is I'm going to take Shanna Young. And the reason I'm going to take her is because she's super, super, super aggressive on the feet. Like she very much lives up to the nickname the Shanimal. Is she like, she just throws absolutely wildly in every situation. Like, if she happens to take her opponent down, she just, like, she's the type of person who would throw, like, a double-handed punch. That's right up her alley. Like, if you've ever seen somebody throw one of those. Like, she would do that on the ground. She would box somebody's ear. She's just going to throw everything but the kitchen sink. And Edgar in her last fight had a little bit of trouble with Tracy Cortez. And specifically the physicality of Tracy Cortez. First of all, this is probably going to wind up in the clinch because Shannon Young is just going to rush forward. And Egger had so much trouble with Tracy Cortez. And really, Shannon Young rushed forward on Maisie Chaisson, and the physicality of Maisie Chaisson did not bother her at all. Like, she was in that clinch. She fought for good positions. It wound up stalemating out a couple of times. And, you know, each woman had her moments. But if you tell me one of them got bodied up by Tracy Cortez, who's really like an oversized flyweight, and the other one hung in there with an enormous bantamweight, I'm going to give the physicality advantage to Young. And while I'm also doing that, I'm giving her the output advantage. In a fight that we think is probably not going to get a finish, those two things are enough to probably sway the judges.
Okay, you said in that breakdown that she lives up to her nickname, so now you're going to tell all our listeners what a shanimal is, Dan.
A shanimal, I mean, I just mean she's an animal in there. Yeah, that's all I mean.
But her nickname's not animal, it's shanimal. So what's a shanimal?
It's the same thing.
Oh, it's the same thing. Okay, I got it.
It's a Shannon animal.
Okay, got it.
How bad of a nickname would that be if they just used the whole thing? Shannon, the Shannon animal.
That would be even better. Not as good as Ham and Egger, but it's pretty good. All right, I'm taking her tips. Sorry, Ham and Egger, but we're saying that you're Ham and Egger and you're going to lose here. So before we move on to yet another bantamweight fight, let's tell you about PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks. Helmed by a team of Trendwatch and data-devouring sports fanatics, giving the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport. Loaded with best bets, props, and parlays, you can find in-depth analysis on every game, all for free. Found your pick? Search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up on an account, compare the odds, and finally place your bet. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, I'm on a roll. Let's tell you about Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, my favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. So, for instance, tonight I was checking the score in the crucial the Yankees have caught up, Dan. The Jays were up 4-0. Now the Yankees have caught up, so it's 5-5.
Canadians letting you down again.
Canadians are letting me down again. So if in this Jays game, if I took George Springer, Bo Bichette, and Espinal, if I took all them over their projection, which is usually 1.5 hits plus walks, I took the three of them to be over 1.5. They're all over on that. If I bet $20, I would win $100. How's that? That's called a power play option. So 5 times your money. That's how it works. So use promo code SGP to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. It's Price Picks promo code SGP. Meanwhile, your Braves are still in first place, right, Dan? They're hanging on.
They are. The magic number is down to 3, and they are currently leading, knock on wood, the Phillies, which would drop their magic number down to just 1 game. So it does appear the NL East is staying in Atlanta.
All right. We're staying with bantamweights. This is very bantamweight. I guess there's a lot of bantamweights on the roster, so it kind of makes sense. We're back to the male side of the ledger. Bantamweights, Douglas Silva de Andrade versus Gaetano Perello. Nicknames, El Tigre for Perello and D. Silva for Andrade. Obviously, El Tigre is going to win because the other one's just friggin' his name. It's his normal name. So disappointed in that. All right, El Tigre, Perello, 15-6-1 with 11 knockouts, which is a crazy amount for a bantamweight. Or he was a featherweight also, but 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. For him, what else can I tell you? He's been subbed himself 4 times. He's 0-1 the UFC. He lost via submission. He's won 5 of his last 7. He used to be featherweight, I believe. This one is at bantamweight. Am I right on that, Dan? That
he used it to is be at bantamweight, for sure.
Yep. Yeah, I knew that. But did he used to be featherweight? I think he may have been.
I'm pretty sure he fought anywhere he could get a fight when he was in Europe.
There you go. That's true. He's 7 years younger than Andrade. He's at plus 195. D. Silva is 26-4 with 1 no contest. 19 knockouts. This is wild that these two have so many knockouts for little guys. 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 4-4 in the UFC. Check out this pattern of wins and losses. Loss, win, loss, win, loss. Why do we come across this so often? Do you have a theory on that, Dan?
It does seem to happen at least once a card. We have one person where we're like, just play the trend.
Exactly. No, like, but why? I wonder why this is happening. Is it the
it's gotta be good matchmaking. Good matchmaking. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they get bumped up a level and then they can't handle that, so they get dropped back down and they win and they get bumped up and they I guess that's probably it. He also used to be a featherweight, I believe. He is 5 times more active striking than Perrello, but Perrello's only fought once, so small sample size. Grappling stats in his favor, -250. I will take D Silva, despite his bad nickname. I will take him at the -250.
Well, we're going to get our first difference then.
Oh, you're taking a big dog.
I'm going to take Gaetano Perrello, and not even because I'm super confident in Gaetano Perrello. It's more of a fade of Douglas Andrade than it is a full-on play with Perrello. On one hand, I just think we don't know very much about Perrello, which is why I'm not, like, you know, all in on Perrello here, and I'm playing it with the caveat. But, you know, he looked good in European Beatdown 7. Which
is that a real thing?
Yeah, that was the name of the promotion he fought for last. It was European Beatdown 7. I think he was on European Beatdown 3, too, if I'm not mistaken. He looked good in those fights. Like, you could actually find him on YouTube. He, like, works well in the clinch. He throws good knees. He's very clearly, like, a kickboxer, which is probably why he's got losses by submission. And, like, he's clearly got some stuff going for him. But at the same time, like, he did get ragdolled by Ricky Simon. But, like, everybody gets ragdolled by that dude. Like, that dude went toe-to-toe with Merab Dvalishvili and beat him. So, you know, a lot of people say he looked like trash in his debut. Yeah, most people would on short notice against Ricky Simon. Douglas Andrade, on the other hand, last time we saw him was after a long layoff. We got to see him fight Lerone Murphy, who's decent. Like, no knock here on Lerone Murphy. But Andrade looked probably 80% slower than he used to look. And that, to me, especially at his age, right? Like, he's not like a young guy anymore. You know, he's 36, yeah. Which is in bantamweight age is like 45. So, like, you got a young kickboxer against a guy who likes to think he's a power puncher and looks way slower than he used to. So it's more of a fade on Douglas Andrade, and knowing that Perrello does have knockout power, that I'm going to go with Perrello here, especially because the odds are quite large in his favor. So I'll take a stab on an underdog.
It makes sense. Moving on, lightweights, Jamie Mullarkey. His middle name is, his nickname is Full Of, okay?
I reacted instantly to that. Do you feel better now?
You didn't react properly, but yes. Against Devontae Smith. Smith has nickname is King Cage, K-A-G-E. I'm not really into the misspellings, Dan. I guess it's from all the time I spend editing your horribly written stuff, right?
I think it bothers me more when it's like a storefront.
Yes,
candy corner, and both of them are spelled with a K, and I'm like, why?
I think there's the candy corner up by our cottage. I think the Ash is a real store. I think so.
Is it spelled with K's?
I don't think. Well, we don't have KKK up here, Dan. No, it's not all K. Oh, all right. Let's move on. Mullarkey, Full Of, is his nickname since he doesn't have one. He is 13-4 with 9 knockouts, 3 submissions. So everything is a finish except for one fight for him. 1-2 in the UFC. He won via KO his last fight after dropping his first two. He's 3 inches taller, 1 year younger, +128. King Cage is 11-2 with 10 knockouts, 1 submission. So everything is a finish for this guy. He's been knocked out himself twice, so both of his losses come via knockout. He's 3-1 in the UFC. He won via TKO his last fight. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series, 2 inches of reach. Striking stats in his favor, plus he's 2 times more active striking, landing strikes. Grappling stats in his favor, -160. Mr. Dan, we'll let you pick first for a change here.
I'm going to take Devontae Smith. I actually think this one's a pretty easy one, too, because for me, you know, like, Jamie Mullarkey was really close to just being fired recently. He was 0-2, and he picked up a win over Kama Worthy, which is a good win, but Kama kind of fights erratically and just kind of throws wild. So his fights tend to feel like a coin flip, whether he's better or worse than somebody. And Mullarkey tagged him when it got a little bit too wild. I think Devontae Smith is a cleaner puncher. He's better at using his jab to feel things out. Also, like, while he is so dangerous with the hands, like you just read off with his record, He was a high school wrestler first, so he has, like, a wrestling background, and you can see in some of his past fights, when somebody shoots a takedown on him, he reverses positions really well, sometimes lands a takedown of his own. I think Mullarkey needs to try to take him down in order to win this fight, and I think it's not going to work for him when he does, and if he doesn't try to take him down, he's definitely getting knocked out.
Yep, Smith is the pick. despite the King Cage nickname misspelling, we will take him in regardless. Let's go back to bantamweight, shall we? We've been gone for so long, a whole fight without bantamweights. Let's go to women's bantamweight again. Betch Correa, is this her retirement fight?
It better be. Like
versus Carol Rosso. So I think we know where we're headed with this pick. Betch is a pit bull. Did you know that, Dan?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Rosa is nothing.
I'm very aware.
My new thing, I think, is going to make up nicknames for everybody that don't have nicknames. So Rosa's nickname is Kiss Froma is her middle name, okay? Kiss from a Rosa or smells like a Rosa. One of you. Either work. All right.
Smells like it would be the worst nickname.
Smells like would be a great nickname. Smells like a Rosa. All right. Correa, the pit bull. She's 11-5-1 with two knockouts. 5-5-1 in the UFC. 1-3-1 over her last five. She lost her last fight. Her last win was way back in September 2019. She's been out of action since July of 2020. She's at plus 310 in her farewell match. Smells like is 14-3 with four knockouts, two submissions, 3-0 in the UFC, won five straight fights. She used to fight at featherweight. She's 3 inches taller, 11 years younger, more active striker. Grappling stats in her favor, minus 425. Yeah, I'll take Rosa. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we don't even really need to break this down anymore because, like, Betch Correa feels like she's saving up to throw a punch for, like, 10 minutes. Like, you can see it coming in the first round, the punch she's going to throw in the second round. And somehow, despite saving up all of her energy to do that, somehow it still exhausts her when she throws that punch. She's like
two whole people using that style.
Yeah, she's like a shell of her old self, and her old self was not particularly dangerous either. Carol Rosa has shown she can grapple. She can take people down. She's a lot closer to what Betch Correa was supposed to be than Betch Correa ever was. This is an easy one. Pick Carol Rosa.
Hey, this reminds me. So Betch Correa famously fought Ronda Rousey during Rousey's Reign of Terror. Ronda Rousey and Travis Brown, former UFC fighter, just had a baby, and Dan's going to tell you their daughter's name.
Yeah, it's I could do this. Laakia Makala Pua'aka Lanipo.
You forgot the last name, Dan.
Oh, Brown.
With an E. Okay, everyone. Wow, Dan, you did it.
Yeah, just like we said on Twitter. I had a pause in there, but I think I was – so I did practice it once just to be like, oh, I can do this. Because it's actually not that hard. It's Laakia Makala Pua'aka Lakina. Lanipo. Yeah.
I think you are supposed to pause though. I think there's some symbols in there that tells you to pause and take a breath.
Yeah, I have no idea. What does that open the line over it mean?
Don't I'm not Hawaiian. I do not know. I take it it's a Hawaiian. I don't know if
it looks Hawaiian. It looks Hawaiian.
Like, I don't know if that's the term for it, Hawaiian, but I assume that's where it originates from. So anyhow. Congrats to the lucky parents. Because being a parent is so wonderful. Let's move on. Shall we? Women's flyweight. Hey, it's not bantamweight, everybody. It's a flyweight fight. Antonina Shevchenko versus Casey O'Neill. We've got nicknames. I don't have to come up with one. King Casey and La Pantera for Shevchenko. I like King Casey as the nickname.
I think La Pantera works. Yeah, although don't like her being the – I mean, there's an El Pantera, too.
That's true. And there's Pantera, too.
The band Pantera. Do you know what Pantera translates to? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Panther?
It is Panther, yes.
Wow, amazing.
Look at your Spanish skills.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, we don't have Spanish up here either, so there you go. Let's break it down, shall we? Shevchenko, older sister of the champ, Valentina Shevchenko. And did you know that she's married to their coach, Dan?
I did not know that. Nope.
Yes, I didn't know. I didn't realize that until fairly recently. But yes, she's married to their coach. So she's 9-3. That doesn't help us pick a fight though. So let's move on. She's 9-3 as a pro. 3 knockouts, 1 submission. 3-3 in the UFC. Hey, we got a pattern again, Dan. You went against the last pattern. Let's see if you go against this one. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. That's her whole UFC career. It's been swapping wins and losses. Now hers is definitely the case of. They move her up too high every time that she wins, right?
Yeah, because she's 36 years old, did I see?
Yeah.
She's 36 years old, and they're very much trying to turn her into some sort of contender. Yeah.
And her name's Shevchenko, too.
Yeah.
Being Valentina's sister is not doing her any favors at all. So.
No, it's not.
Well, she still has a job, so maybe it is doing her favors. She lost via sub her last fight. She was a well-known in the contender series. Used to fight a weight class up at bantamweight. She's got multiple Muay Thai championships on her wall, if she has a wall with them, or maybe on her shelf. I don't know what you get from Muay Thai, or maybe around her neck. I'm not sure what kind of medals you get, but she's 2 inches taller than the King, and she's at plus 175. King KC is 7-0 with 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's 2-0 in the UFC. She's won 3 straight fights via finish. She's 2 inches reach, 13 years younger. Striking and active striking stats in her favor, grappling in her favor, minus 225. Is King KC the real deal, Mr. Vreeland?
So I'm not even sure she's the real deal, but she's real enough to beat Antonia Shevchenko. Because kind of my problem here with Shevchenko is, like, the book's out on her, right? Like, if you look at her fights, she is a kickboxer, a Muay Thai specialist, works well in the clinch, but the problem with her working well in the clinch is that when that person in the clinch with her decides to wrestle, she's screwed. She just looks very bad defensively wrestling, and Casey strikes well from a distance, doesn't do bad work in the clinch herself, and has scored a lot of takedowns in the past. And as a matter of fact, she's finished her last 2 fights with grounded pound and 1 with a rear naked choke. So, you know, it's hard to imagine anything but that happens here. So is she the real deal? I'm not sure I like her more than, like, other flyweight prospects who we talk about regularly. Like, I'm not sure I like her more than, you know, Miranda Maverick, or I'm not sure I like her more than Alexa Grasso or Manon Fierro or even Talia Santos.
Not yet, at least, you know.
No, yeah, I got to see more, and I'm not even sure that more will be here. Like, I'm not sure I will see enough out of her beating Antonina Shevchenko to feel like, yes, this is it.
Yep. Agreed. But she's intriguing nonetheless. So we will pick her in this fight. You know what else is intriguing? Mint Mobile is very intriguing, Dan, because after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number, along with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. Get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free. Go to mintmobile.com/sportsgp. That's mintmobile.com/sportsgp. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sportsgp. All right, what are we moving on to now? The main event of the prelims is lightweights, Joe Selecki versus Jared Gordon. Gordon is Flash. Selecki is nothing. I don't have a nickname for Joe Selecki. Do you have a nickname for Joe Selecki, Dan?
No. Average Joe.
Average
Selecki.
Joe. Hey, that works. There we go. Now you're on board. All right. Flash Gooden is 17-4 with 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. Except his name is Gordon. I have a Gooden down.
That's because there the UFC has a Jared Gooden, yeah.
I know. There's so many Gooden, Gordons, Jareds, yep. So he's Flash Gordon, so his nickname makes more sense. He's 17-4, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times himself, so that's the way to beat him, apparently. All of his losses are via KO. He's 5-3 in the UFC. He's won his last 2 and 3 of 4. He used to fight at featherweight. He's had problems missing weight in the past. He's twice more active striking than Selecki. He's at plus 112. Average Joe is 11-2 with 1 knockout, 7 submissions, 3-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series, 6 straight wins, 2 inches of reach, 5 years younger, minus 140. I'll take Average Joe to keep the good times rolling.
Yeah, I agree with you on this one. The big one for me here with Joe is that he is – I mean, he came out and straight up dominated Jim Miller on the ground grappling And, yep. You know, like, Gordon might have aspects of his jiu-jitsu that is, or wrestling even, that are slightly better than Jim Miller. Like, for instance, I think he probably scrambles better than Jim Miller does. But, like, once he's down, he's, like, a quarter of the grappler that Jim Miller is, right? Like, he's not going to retain guard as well as Jim Miller. He's not going to throw up submissions off his back like Jim Miller. And Selecki easily handled Jim Miller. So as long as he can, like, avoid those transitions and avoid the wrestling counters and avoid the scrambling, I mean, I think he just cruises in the same way he cruised against all three of the guys he's fought so far in the UFC. So, yeah, Selecki here is the pick.
Selecki is the pick. And that's it. Actually, if that's it for the prelims, that means I got to tell you about our last sponsor, because we always try to go ad-free for the main card. So let's talk about Oddscrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? The folks at Oddscrowd are challenging you to prove it this football season with their epic free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Each week of the season, there is a $350 NFL contest and a $250 contest. The boys here at SGPN are all taking part, so you can try to claim bragging rights over us, too. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick-tracking app. The most profitable players rise up the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. Now, Oddscrowd isn't just a fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors. Free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to oddscrowd.com today and download our app too. Be a buddy. SGPN app. We're live in the App Store and Google Play Store. We give you easy access to all our picks, our podcasts. You can get notifications every time a podcast drops. You can check out all the news, articles, everything on the site. So grab the app. Don't forget to toss us an app review and download our app today. And make sure you subscribe. Now I'm telling you what to do. Make sure you subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you can get these podcasts right the second they drop, so you don't have to wait for us to go out on the SGPN network feed. All right, let's move on to main card. Lightweights, Alexander Hernandez versus Mike Breeden. Alexander the Great, Mike, Money Mike Breeden. I don't know if I like either of those nicknames, Dan.
Yeah. Isn't Volkanovski Alexander the Great?
Yeah, there's lots of like, yeah. So
I think we got to go with Money Mike then. Money Mike's a better nickname then, because at least he's not the eighth Alexander the Great.
Yes. Are we going to go with Money Mike, though, with the pick? Let's find out. He's taking this on his UFC debut on short notice, as seems to often be the case. At least once per card, we have a short notice debutant. Money Mike, 10-3 with 8 knockouts. He's 1-2 straight. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator. He's got an inch of height over Hernandez, a more active striker based on his one fight in the UFC Octagon at the Contender Series. He's at plus 350. Alexander the Great, 12-4, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, 4-3 in the UFC. Hey, we got a pattern again here. Loss, win, loss, win, loss. He lost his last fight. 2 inches of reach, 3 years younger. Striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor. We're talking small sample size. Minus 500. At one point, everyone thought he was going to be great, right? But wheels kind of fell off his career, right?
Yeah, he talked all kinds of shit to Daryl Cerrone and then wasn't able to back any of it up. And after that, people were like, you know, completely off that train. I'm going to pick him here, though, and I think it's a pretty obvious pick. While sometimes we've been surprised by short-notice fighters like Terrence McKinney who come in and just, you know, look amazing, what I've seen out of Mike Breeden is not good. He leaves his head open a lot. He backpedals a lot when somebody rushes in and, like, his head stays on the center line. His hands are not high enough. And he's against the guy who just loves to, like, bull rush and throw huge punches. It's literally your worst nightmare for those types of situations. So, let's just say Alexander Hernandez as quickly as he wants a knockout.
There you go. You may even have a prop bet. And late replacements over the past 2 years, 40%, they're hitting at. So 50 and 75. And we're saying Breeden is probably not going to be one of the 40% that gets the job done. Now, here's a fight, though. Women's Bantamweight. Another Bantamweight. Women's Bantamweight. Aspen Ladd versus Macy Chaisson. Once again, they like to match up and comers against one another. So even though Chaisson's not that young. Nicknames? No, neither of them have nicknames. And, do we have any nicknames for either of them? Do you have any nicknames, Dan, for either of these ladies?
I don't. The cheesy nickname's yours. I gave you Average Joe. I tap out after that one.
Yeah, I didn't plan ahead for this, so I'm going to have to pass on these and move on. It's getting late in the night. Brain's not going to work. Let's just tell you about Chae Sung. 7-1, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 5-1 in the UFC. She won 2 straight fights. She also won 2 fights in the Ultimate Fighter House and was the champion of the show. That was at featherweight, where she used to fight. This is down at bantamweight. She also was in Invicta, where she's 1-0. She's 5 inches taller than Asma Ladd, has half a foot of reach, 6 inches of reach, plus 175. Aspen Ladd, how about Nada is her middle name? Is that a good one?
Not a lad.
Yeah. Yeah, she's true. A gal. Yeah, is that a good one? Is
Aspen,
that okay?
Aspen gal.
Aspen not a lad. She's 9-1 with 6 knockouts, 1 submission. She's 4-1 in the UFC. She won via TKO her last fight. She actually, if you ask her, she should be 5-0 in the UFC, right?
She does like to dispute that, Jermaine Jermaine, which I'll say maybe was stopped a tad early, but I don't think she was.
She's going to get hit again.
I think she's going to get punched again.
She was also in Invicta, where she's 5-0. So all of her fights have been in either in Invicta or the UFC, which is very, very impressive, because that's top 2 spots she could have been fighting. She used to fight a weight class down, so she's probably going to be undersized a little bit in this fight, since she's fighting someone who used to fight a weight class up from this class. They're fighting that. They're meeting in the middle is what I'm trying to say. She has missed weight in the past. She used to be a pro kickboxer also. 4 years younger than Chae Sung, striking and active striking stats in her favor, grappling in her favor, minus 225. And she's got my pick also.
Yeah, I actually think we broke this one down when it was originally booked. It got pulled, I want to say, right at weigh-ins before it was rebooked here. Yeah, and I picked Aspen Ladd then. I'll pick her now. The thing for me here with Aspen Ladd is just, like, she controls the fight too well. And that seems to be the place where Maxine Chae Sung has had the biggest issues in her career. When she lost to Lena Landsberg, Landsberg kind of like took her down and controlled her. She's won other fights, but like been taken down in those two. Like Marion Renault wrestled her up a little bit and made it tough for Maxine Chae Sung to pull out a unanimous decision victory. And if like you have a tough time keeping Marion Renault, who was, I think 45 at the time, off of you. Aspen Ladd, who is just an overall better grappler, has a lot more youth, a lot more energy, a lot more strength. Because you mentioned she came up a weight class. She did it the right way, too. She's very physically strong for the 135-pound class. I have to think she just dominates the position wherever she wants to here against Maxine Chae Sung.
Yep, Ladd is the pick. Rocket is back, strapped back onto her. Middleweights, Misha Cirkunov versus Krzysztof Jotko. In my world, these two have already fought before, but they have not. No nicknames for either of them. So Cirkunov, I guess his nickname could be secretly Canadian, right?
He pretends to be Canadian. I guess is this your lone Canadian then? He's pretend Canadian.
He's born in Latvia, then he lives in Canada. I don't think he doesn't even live in Canada anymore, I don't think, does he? Doesn't he?
No, he trains at Extreme Couture in Vegas. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna give him the Canadian rub or not. This is his debut at middleweight, which Dan mentioned in a previous episode, kind of skeptical on, because he is a pretty jacked dude at light heavyweight, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's enormous.
Yeah, and somehow he's going to suck 20 more pounds out of his body for weigh-in. So we'll see. You may want to hold off on this fight until you see what he looks like on the scales. But let's break her down. He's 15-6 with 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 4 times. He's 6-4 in the UFC. He got TKO'd his last fight. We got another pattern, win-loss, win-loss. So he lost his last fight. He's actually only won 2 of his last 6. He's another guy that big things were thought of him, and then he kind of fizzled out. All of his last 4 fights, so of his last 6 fights, he's lost 4 of them, and they all were via some form of knockout or TKO. Like I said, this will be his debut at middleweight. He was a Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion in a previous life. 2 inches taller, striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor. He's at plus 130. Jocko, 22-5, 6 knockouts, 1 submission, 9-5 in the UFC. 3-1 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight, though, after winning 3 straight. He was used to be a welterweight, so these guys are just like the last fight. They're coming from different directions of the weight spectrum. He's 2 years younger than Cirkunov, minus 165. I'm going to take my first official dog here. I'm going to take Cirkunov because Jocko's not really much of a finisher, and that pretty much Zirkunov's weakness is getting finished, and probably it'll be even worse now that he's cutting more weight, but I think he can get the job done here.
So this is not only your first underdog on this card, this is your first underdog in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like it's worth mentioning you've been extra chalky. But I'm going to agree with you on this one. I do like Misha Zirkunov as well. I think while we joked about, you know, being just absolutely perplexed about how this guy is going to make it down to middleweight, I also think people writing him off is not being as good as Jocko here just based on that weight cut is potentially dangerous, right? Like, if you look at Jocko's career record, it's not like he's some crazy finisher. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
Seven finishes and 22 wins, but look where they are too.
They're not even in the UFC, right? Decision over Anders, decision over Berio, decision over Amendovsky, decision over Tialis Latis. He did knock out Tamden the Barn Cat McCrory.
Remember him? I bet you liked him. Didn't you?
I love Tamden McCrory. That is very much one of my guys, right? You know, decision Brad Scott, decision Scott Askin, decision Tor Trying, decision Bruno Santos. He's got one finish in the UFC total. So yes, he does have 7 KOs, but like none of them are in the UFC. So that worries me because he's fighting Misha Zirkunov, a guy who, you know, just comes at you and is in your face and, you know, like you said, he's had problems with being finished. Now he's fighting a guy he probably doesn't have to worry about that with. So people who can't finish Misha Zirkunov wind up getting finished. So, I'm willing to roll the dice enough on his weight cut that I think he can get it done.
Yep. Hopefully the gas tank is in place if he doesn't get it done earlier. That's another thing to worry about. But like I said, you may want to wait until weigh-ins to pick this one. Unless you see the line headed in the wrong direction, then you may want to jump on it. Let's move on to welterweights. Alex Oliveira versus Nico Price. Nicknames, yes. The hybrid, Nico the hybrid Price, and Cowboy Oliveira, which is – who had that nickname first, though?
I don't know, but I like that they designate him as Brazilian Cowboy.
Yes.
So it's kind of a nice touch.
Yeah. Do you remember other interesting facts I told you about him, Dan?
Was he the one who was bombed?
The grenade attack. Yes.
Yeah, he's attacked by a grenade, yeah.
Yes, and how many children does he have? Do you remember
that? 312 or something.
Yes, I'm not looking it up, but yes, he has a lot of children also. All right, let's do Brazilian Cowboy first, Oliveira. I thought he was taking this a short notice, but I guess I don't see that list anywhere. Do you remember?
That Cowboy was?
Yeah. I was thinking this was like not a last minute, but maybe it was like a month or two.
No, I think this was like just full-on books. Yeah.
Okay, good.
To my knowledge.
I'm thinking I get him and Francisco Trinaldo mixed up. I think Trinaldo might be
taking it. Oh, he just stepped into a fight. Yeah.
Yep. Recently. I get those two guys mixed up for some reason, but yes, okay.
Bustly Brazilian Cowboy dudes.
It's all Brazilians look alike. There's a hot take. Look out. Let's go with the Cowboy. He's 22-10-1 with 2 no contests, 12 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been subbed 6 times in his career, so that is his kryptonite. He's 11-8 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. He's won only two of his last 7 fights. He has had problems missing weight in the past. He used to fight at lightweight. This is up at welterweight. What else can I tell you? He used to be a pro kickboxer. I wrote pro kickboxer. I think that's something different. You know, I don't know what kickboxing is, but he has the striking stats in his favor. He's at plus 125 if anybody wants to take him. Nico Price, 14-2, a 2-0 contest, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. So everything's a finish except one fight for this guy. He's been knocked out 3 times himself. He's 6-5 with 2 no contests in the UFC. He is winless over his last 3 fights. He's 0-2 with a draw. I think the draw actually got turned to a no contest. Yes, it did. Because he likes to smoke the weed and pop for it. His last win was way back in October of 2019. He's got an inch of height, and he's only 1 year younger than Oliveira. I would have guessed he's way younger. Would you have not guessed he's way younger?
That Nico Price is way younger than Cowboy. I mean, Cowboy just kind of looks
forever.
Yeah, and he kind of looks weathered too. Like he looks like he's been hit a lot.
There's a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And you got hit by a grenade, man. What do you want from this guy?
Yeah, I guess we should cut him some slack.
Price is the more active striker of the two. He's at minus 155. I'll take Price here. Dan will tell you why I'm correct.
Yeah, I think you should take Price here too. Cowboy is just kind of, he sort of entered that realm where he likes to make a lot of mistakes. Particularly
he likes to, you think?
Yeah, he seems to. I mean, if you saw the guillotine he just carefully put himself in against Shavkat Rakhmonov, who again, one of my guys, I like Shavkat Rakhmonov, but he just was oh, you're kind of hitting me standing up, so here's my neck, let's get this over with. And then same thing with Randy Brown. He just kind of, he wound up in a one-arm rear naked choke, 2 minutes into the fight. So yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in Cowboy Oliveira to do things that are safe all the time. And Nico Price is one of those dudes who he puts himself in danger, but at the same time, you feel kind of safe that he's not going to get knocked out. If Vicente Luque could punch that dude in the face nonstop for 15 minutes and he didn't get knocked out, I don't know that Cowboy's got a good chance of knocking him out. So, yeah, I'm just going to say Nico Price by, let's say, the weirdest thing that you can think of. He's already got 2 up kick finishes, so maybe something spinning.
Yeah, that sounds good. So are you trying to say that a guy who has 10 kids from a bunch of different relationships and got hit by a grenade is not safe and makes mistakes? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Dan?
That might be a nice take, actually, yeah.
All right, well, we agreed in every fight except the one that you went out on the limb on so far, too. Let's see. Okay, the last 2 fights are the ones that we're having some trouble with. So let's see if we both landed on the same side of the coin here or not. Middleweights, Kevin Holland is back. It seems like he's been gone forever, right? Because we're used to him every other card, him being on it.
Yeah, he's been gone for all 3 cards or something.
So who knows what he's added to his game now, all that time off. Kevin Holland versus Kyle Daukaus at middleweight. Kevin Holland is a trailblazer. Daukaus is nothing. Is he the younger brother or the older brother of?
He's the younger brother. Yeah,
younger and smaller. So little bro, his nickname is going to be. Little bro is 10-2 with 8 submissions. To his credit, he's never been finished in a fight. He's 1-2 in the UFC. Hey, we got another pattern: loss, win, loss. He in the UFC, he's got a streak going here. He lost his last fight. He was 1-0 in the contender series. Grappling stats in his favor: +125. For Kevin Holland, he's 21-7 with 12 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been subbed twice himself, which is something of note since he's going up against a submission specialist. He's 8-4 in the UFC, lost his last 2. He's was 1-0 in the Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator, used to be a welterweight. He also was 2-1 as a pro kickboxer, 5 inches of reach, striking and active striking stats in his favor, -155. I've flopped onto the side of the dog here, because there's a clear path to victory here, taking him down and submitting him. So I'll take Kyle Daukaus.
Well, that's good, because I'm going to take Kevin Holland. So we've got some difference here. Yeah, I get that that's the narrative on why the line has probably gotten as close as it has, right? That's if you're going to pick Kyle Daukaus, you are largely thinking he can take him down and control him. But I think that narrative about Kevin Holland being very easy to take down and very easily controlled is somewhat overplayed and somewhat skewed, because who took him down and controlled him? Derek Brunson and Marvin Vettori, the 2 best wrestlers in the division, hands down, nobody even close. So when you consider that, and even with that too, let's also remember that when he was on the feet with Marvin Vettori, he looked way better than Marvin Vettori on the feet, way better than Marvin Vettori on the feet. And I'm just not positive that, once he gets those hands going, that, Kyle Daukaus is even going to be able to see where the takedown is. Because he is a really good striker. I mean, he, beat the hell out of Joaquin Buckley, who's a guy, a lot of people like his striking. And, I mean, he knocked out Jacare from his back, and, he knocked out Anthony Fluffy Hernandez. And, he just is, a really good fighter when you're letting him stand up and throw. And I think there's going to be enough of this fight letting him stand up and throw where Daukaus isn't going to get the grappling going. So, yeah, I'm actually going to take Kevin Holland with his stand-up, speedy enough. And I'll say this, I actually like him with a knockout prop here too.
Hey, you always do a good job at making me unsure of my picks, Dan, but I'll stick with Daukaus. So I guess it's good. You're persuasive. Let's go to the main event, shall we? This is another one we're having a hard time picking, which probably is good news. Light heavyweights, Thiago Santos, Johnny Walker. Santos is Moretta, which is the sledgehammer. Walker doesn't have a nickname. I guess he doesn't need one because he's, what, named after a liquor and he's crazy.
So yeah, I always sort of half assumed he was one of those British or those Brazilian guys who's right. got like a
fake name,
a fake name, a name that he doesn't go by, right?
Yeah.
And I looked it up. His real name is Johnny Walker. So that's
wild,
not,
eh?
Yeah, it's not true. But yeah, didn't see that one coming.
Nope. Walker 18-5 with 15 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out of South 3 times. He's 4-2 in the UFC. He's only won 1 of his last 3. He won via KO his last fight, which was a year ago, September 2020. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He used to fight at heavyweight briefly. He's got 4 inches of height on Santos, 6 inches of reach, 8 years of youth. He's a more active striker of the two, plus 135. The sledgehammer is 21-9, the Brazilian sledgehammer, 21-9 with 15 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out himself 3 times and subbed 3 times. He's 13-7 in the UFC. He's lost his last 3 fights. His last win was back in February of 2019. He also was on the Ultimate Fighter, where he was 2-2. He used to fight at middleweight, minus 185. We'll let you go first here since I did the co-main event. What side did you flip-flop onto?
So when I was looking at this fight, it's really apparent that Thiago Santos is a better technical striker. Thiago Santos is probably, if he had choose to wrestle here, has probably got the better wrestling. I think he's probably got actually better submission skills than Johnny Walker. When his big punches land, he may even have better knockout power. And with all that being said, I'm going to take Johnny Walker, because he's an agent of chaos. And that's pretty much, the only thing you need to know about him is that he makes you fight a really fucking stupid fight, one that nobody should fight ever. Like, I mean, like, the one that sticks out to me when you look back at Johnny Walker's career is, like, take the fight he had against Ryan Spann, right? Like, he was fighting Ryan Spann. Ryan Spann was getting everything he wanted going, and then just suddenly it devolved into this wild exchange of crazy punches in Ryan Spann's unconscious next to him. You know, you can use the Nikita Krylov fight as, like, a counterpoint that, like, you can fight a smart fight. But, like, Nikita Krylov is, like, a pretty good grappler. So, like, it's different. Thiago Santos, I don't see that as a method, right? Like, I see him standing with him. And, you know, look at the guys who standing with him. Khalil Roundtree lasted less than 2 minutes. Justin Ledet lasted 15 seconds. Misha Serkinov lasted 36 seconds. Ryan Spann lasted a whopping 2 minutes and 43 seconds. So, like, man, it's just not a good idea to stand with Johnny Walker. And I have the weirdest feeling that Thiago Santos is going to do it for long enough for Johnny Walker to just turn it into a crazy enough fight.
Yeah, I'm also taking Johnny Walker. But for reasons like you said, I think Santos is type of guy who you can suck into crazy type of fight if you want one. Plus, Walker's got a lot of length on him, much younger, and he's far more active striker. So yeah, I think. I'm gonna go with him. But like you said last podcast, like, we don't even know if Johnny Walker's good yet, do we?
I don't think we ever will. That the worst part of it?
It's like that's light heavyweight for you also.
I don't think you will ever know if he's a good fighter. Like, when he retires, you will still be asking yourself, like, was Johnny Walker good? And I think you'll remember that he dislocated his shoulder doing the worm. And that's probably what you'll remember.
But is that not perfect for light heavyweight? Do we know?
It's exactly
what we need. It is. Thiago Santos even good? Like, we don't know. So. We don't know. All right. You got some props or parlays? The degenerates always want, like massive parlays. Do you have anything interesting to give the people?
So let's start with just a couple of quick props. I mentioned that I liked Kevin Holland to win by knockout. You can get that at, like, plus 250 to plus 300. I also like Anthony Hernandez to win in round 1. You can get that right around the same price, 240 to 260 right now. I think he's going to just absolutely steamroll Breeden. And the fact that he comes out hard no matter who he's fighting, he's fighting a guy on short notice who doesn't look like he belongs in there. I think that's a big one too. So those are my 2 big props for this one. Let's put together a parlay for you guys so that you can look at some big juicy money and decide. So I would say – you know, while I love Carol Rosa and I'd like to put her in a parlay, and same with Alex Hernandez, those ones aren't going to do anything for your number, so I'd probably stay away from those. I do really like Alejandro Perez. I mentioned before that I think he's a good one. We both, me and Jeff, are in on Shanna Young. We think she's going to win that one. The Shanimal. So we'll take Alejandro Perez and Shannon Young. We both like Casey O'Neill. Again, kind of a larger favorite, but yeah, I think she's safe. And for the price Joe Selecki is currently chilling at, I think that one's a pretty easy one to stick in just about any parlay. We'll close it all off with Aspen Ladd. So that's Alejandro Perez. And then we go with the lady, Shanna Young, Casey O'Neill, and Aspen Ladd. And then Joe Selecki, you're gonna get 10-1. You might like the big crazy 88-1s, but you're gonna need to do a whole. Yeah, 10. I like 10-1 here. And you know what? Like I said, the only one who I am like not absolutely certain that I really like in this fight is Alejandro Perez on his layoff. Worries me mildly, and Shanna Young. Should she tire out, but Casey O'Neill, Joe Selecki, Aspen Ladder, a great basis for any set of parlays.
And the levels you bet at too, Dan, that's gonna be a lot of zeros coming back your way.
That's always big zeros. Yeah. We don't talk about me gambling. I gamble in figurative sense.
that's why he's called the Danimal. Cause he's a hardcore. But yeah,
I'm the guy who when they said, oh, somebody on the last weekend's broadcast, they said it put, you know, they put the little updates in the corner, DraftKings Sportsbook. So DraftKings Sportsbook has alerted us that somebody has put $5,000 on Martin Snow Jr. and it would pay out $20,000. No, nobody could have been lower on Martin Snow Jr. than I would. The dude lasted 15 seconds, and I'm imagining that guy with his $5,000 bet on and just what an idiot.
It was probably someone named Danimal or Shanimal that made that bet. I think we did a pretty good job making this card seem fairly interesting, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I think the more I talked about it, there are a couple of ones. Like, I am really interested in what Misha Zurganov looks like at this weight class.
Wait, we didn't pick locks yet. I forgot. But now that we're winning on our locks again, we better pick some locks. So I think it's your turn to go first. Who do you want to take for your lock?
I'm going to go with Casey O'Neill.
Okay.
Yeah, I already mentioned her as part of my parlay, but Casey O'Neill should beat the hell out of Antonina Shevchenko.
All right. Casey, the king is Dan's pick. Who do I want? I want someone with a decent – do I really care about the number that much or not?
There's one in there with a better number than Casey O'Neill that I almost picked too.
Nico Price or Aspen Ladd?
I'm not going to give it to you.
No, I know. Of course not.
You're still missing. And one of those doesn't have a better number than Casey O'Neill.
Yeah, I know. You like Joe Selecki, probably?
Yeah, that's the one I like.
I don't know if I like that for my lock. I'm going to go – I like Aspen Ladd. I'm going to take her for my lock. I think she's just better all around, and she will be my pick. So Casey O'Neill and Aspen Ladd are the locks. And it's Dan's bedtime now, right, Dan? We've already get you off of that now. Put this one in the book.
It's my editing time.
Oh, yes. It's true. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 77. We'll be back on Sunday with episode 78. Imagine that. And we'll tell you how great we did with our picks. In the meantime, make sure, like I said, you subscribe to this here feed, this MMA Gambling Podcast feed, and keep those numbers rising that we have there. I appreciate everyone listening. What else can you do? Follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. You can listen to Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast, who just showed up in my feed, and I see you interview two people who I picked to win this week, which is never a good sign for me.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people on this card who I have interviewed before. I think you picked more than one of them, too.
Because, so this week is Devontae Smith and Joe Selecki, right?
You picked my guy. You picked my guy Johnny Walker, who's been on the show. You picked Misha Zurganov, who's been on the show. Misha Zurganov was on, I want to say, episode 2. Of the Top Turtle podcast 5 years ago, and not since then. But yeah,
that's because he's not Canadian anymore, so he's not nice. Yeah, so you got Devontae Smith and Joe Selecki on this week. If you guys want to hear Gumby talk to those people who we both picked to win their fights, you can also listen to his prelim primer. I'll get it right finally. Prelim primer podcast. Even though I'm not on it this week, you can listen in and see who he and his co-host pick in for all the prelim picks. And read all their stuff, obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. tons of football on there. We have our NBA previews running out every day. Also, MMA, Dana White Contender Series columns go up Monday early in the day. And he's, as we told you starting the show, he's a killer. He's a soothsayer with his picks there, so you're going to want to check that out. That's pretty much all I got to say. I'm going to let the Danimal take us on this week.
I'm the Danimal, Daniel Vreeland, yes. And he is Juicy Jeff Fox, and we will catch you on Sunday.
My new nickname should be Amazingly Canadian.